Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll be looking at the Word in a moment, but before we do, let me remind you that we are considering together today the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. As a matter of fact, we just began the study of it in our last meeting together. And we mention that because we make available to you outline studies in the Gospel of Matthew, and with yesterday's study, we began what we refer to as Volume 4 of the studies which are made available to you. If you are on our regular mailing list, you have probably already received Volume 4. If you are not and would like to have these outline studies, then write and ask for them. Just ask for the outline studies in Matthew, and we will send you Volume 4, which we will be using for the next several weeks. And we will send you as well the first 3 volumes in the series so that you will have a complete study. I'm not going to take the time today to tell you how helpful these outline studies are. Many of you have written and said how helpful they are, but we know they are helpful because we realize that it is important to teach the Word of God line upon line and precept upon precept. That is, there just has to be a continual study of the Word. Now, shall we bow our heads together for prayer? Father, we are about to look into Thy Word, and we confess to You how much we need You. We can't understand it unless You do teach it to us, and we ask that You will do that now. You promised that the Holy Spirit would open the Word of God and give us these wonderful truths, and we're counting on You to do it right this day. We ask too, Father, that Thou wilt look with favor upon us. You know, many of us, the needs we have and how impossible it is for us to meet some of these needs and to solve these problems. And we just ask that You will do that for us as we look to Thee in faith. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I said to you, yesterday we began the study of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and we said that the 6th chapter describes the relationship that we should have to ourselves. That is, it describes what our own spiritual life would be. We read with you in our last study the first 18 verses of the 6th chapter, which describe this particular portion, which we explained with 2 words: righteous acts. We said these verses describe the righteous acts of the believer. And we said those righteous acts were described by the one English word alms. And we spelled that for you, A-L-M-S, because we realized that some of us, not all of you, of course, but with some of us, our hearing is not as distinct as it once was, and sometimes a word like that doesn't come across the way it's actually spelled. So we say again, we're talking about A-L-M-S. Now, we should realize that when we look at the word alms in the English text, we are actually looking at 2 Greek words. For example, if we were reading this in the original language, we would find that the word alms in verse 1 is one word, and the word alms in verse 2 is yet another word in the original text. For example, in verse 1, you remember, we read together, therefore when thou doest thine alms, that's it, do not sound a trumpet. In verse 2. It's important for us to understand then the meaning of these words so that we will be all operating on the same wavelength. The word alms in verse 1 is a very interesting word. It's a word that describes righteous acts. It is a translation of the Greek word dikaiosune, and it is describing exactly what I'm talking about. Acts, activities that are righteous. Now, the word alms, same English word, in verse 2 is the translation of the Greek word elemosune, and it refers to acts of kindness. The first word, dikaiosune, describing righteous acts, is speaking of our righteous acts in a general way, and that describes all the righteousnesses of the saints. And the second word describes one special act of righteousness, referred to as an act of kindness. You see, there are many different kind of righteous acts, and then there are among those righteous acts, acts of kindness. I think it would be helpful for us to notice what is recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, where you see this word dikaiosune, righteous acts, used. And if you look there at Revelation 19, verse 8, we read, "And to her," that is to the church, the bride of Christ, "was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now, the word alms in verse 1 of Matthew 6 is the very same word which is translated righteousness or righteous acts in the book of Revelation. So, fix in your mind that we are discussing the acts of righteousness. They are described in this 6th chapter, as we mentioned to you, under this word alms, or again under the word phrase acts of kindness in verse 2 through 4. They are described by the word prayer in verses 5 through 15, and they are described by the word fasting in verses 16 through 18. So here in this chapter, if you're thinking with me, we have several kinds of righteous acts described. Let me review them for you again. In verses 2 through 4, we have acts of kindness described. In verses 5 through 15, we have acts of righteousness described by the word prayer. And then in verses 16 through 18, we have acts of righteousness described by the word fasting. Now, if we're going to talk about righteous acts, which certainly is the subject of the paragraph, the three kinds of righteous acts which we will be considering, acts of kindness, prayer, and fasting, we must understand what place these actually have in the believer's life. In other words, they must be put in their right perspective, because we must recognize today that there are unsaved people, I mean by that people who make no profession of faith in Jesus Christ, who perform acts of kindness. Why, many of our charitable programs are supported by and large by corporations or by those who do not do it in the name of Christ. Doesn't necessarily mean they individually are not Christians, but they do it as a charitable act. And certainly, they are acts of kindness. You are aware that our present president feels that if we did more of this sort of thing, the huge debt that the government bears because of acts of welfare could be lessened a great deal. Americans, perhaps more than any other nation, are moved to do acts of kindness, and frankly, the people who do them are not professing Christians. There are unsaved people who pray. Why, all the time, when you read stories in the newspaper or magazines or perhaps television programs, they are telling how in a very serious situation they prayed, and they feel that God answered. Now, I must inject here, because I must be faithful to the teaching of the Word of God, as I understand the Word of God, and I believe I do, an unsaved man really can't pray to God and expect anything to happen, because the only way that an unsaved man can come to God is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he must be a saved man. Oh yes, thank God today. God does hear the prayer of the sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, individuals may say then, tell me how it is that I did pray when I wasn't a Christian, and God answered that prayer. Well, I don't profess to have the answer to all those questions, but I would give you this thought to consider. There are godly mothers everywhere praying for wayward boys. There are godly wives, godly husbands. There are churches praying all the time for individuals. And the very thing that you have prayed about in your unsafe state has been prayed about by believers, and it is really God answering their prayers, not yours. But you are benefiting by them. But you know, I'm so glad for that. I'm sure that you, as I, have a number of folk for whom we pray. Their lives are not what they ought to be before God. They're not living lives that are pleasing to Him, and we wonder, oh God, how can you bless somebody that isn't living the way they ought to live? And then we are reminded that God does not answer prayer because somebody lives right or somebody doesn't. Oh yes, there's something that related to that that we'll get into by and by. But the point I want to leave with you today is, if you have an unsaved loved one, or if you have a loved one that's not doing what you would love to see them do for God, keep on praying. God will hear. They may write you someday and say, oh, I prayed and God heard. That's all right. That's all right. Let them think that God answers the prayers of the believer. And I would say, in the closing seconds we have today, trying to put this idea of righteous acts in perspective, that not, there are unsaved people who do acts of kindness, there are unsaved people who pray, and there are unsaved people who fast. But all of these people do it for the wrong reasons. You and I, as Christians, must learn from this chapter how to do these things, but to do them for the right reasons. And we'll continue our discussion in our next study. And once again, I do hope that you will be with us and invite someone else to join in the study of the Word.